Today we're starting a new Masechet, Masechet of Avodah Zarah. Very interesting Masechet. I'll give it a little bit of a marketing pitch before I start. Yehuda Brandes has an article in Akdamot, Volume Hay. You can find it on the Beit Marasha website if you're interested in reading it. It's a very interesting article. It's called the Petich to LeParak Yimei Edehen, which is our Perak. So he basically gives an introduction to Masechet Avodah Zarah. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. We're going to start a long Agadata today that we're going to finish up tomorrow, and he has a whole bunch of things to say about it. But in the meantime, he starts off and he says that basically our parak is going to deal with a lot of the relationships between the Jews and the non-Jews. And he says that it's interesting because it's such a basic issue, and he talks about the dichotomy between, on the one hand, the issues with non-Jews, that on the one hand we deal with them all the time and we have nice relationships with them, and on the other hand there's often a lot of hatred and bad blood between us. And he basically says that this Masechet really relates to all these things, which are incredibly relevant, how we're supposed to relate to non-Jews and the issues that come up. And he says, interestingly, it doesn't really it doesn't get learned often, except for really in Daf Yomi, and, you know, sugyas get quoted here and there, but in the yeshivas they don't learn them, where they learn the iyun stuff, and where they're learning for the rabbanut, they don't learn them, and it's a masechet that unfortunately, you know, doesn't get learned very much. And he says it's obviously a really important, it's a really important masechet to learn, because it really talks about the concepts behind, you know, relationships with Jews and non-Jews. And anyway, so I thought that was an interesting introduction to start with, about sort of to give the parak a little bit of sense of importance, why it's important to learn, and it's good that we're learning it in Daf Yomi. Okay, it starts off with Lifnei Edehen Shel Ovdei Kochavim Shlosha Yamim, before the holidays of the non-Jews, or again, we should call them Ovdei Kochavim. Like, this goes back to, we're going to get a lot into the Meiri, who said Ovdei Kochavim doesn't apply to Christians because they're not Ovdei Elilim. You know, whether you view it as all non-Jews or particularly non-Jews who are Ovdei Kochavim, idol worshippers. So 3 days before their holidays, Asur Laseit V'Latet Imahen. You cannot do business dealings with them. Lahashilan, you can't loan them things. Ulish omehen, or to borrow from them. Lahalvotan, to lend them stuff. Lahavot mehen, to loan them money, or to loan money from them. Liporan ulifra mehen, okay, to pay them back, or to demand that they pay you. Okay? This seems like, right, a very all-encompassing, everything is forbidden. Okay, I'll already tell you that Rashi limits this. In terms of the laseit velateit, okay, even though everything seems to be lahashil u lishol, lahavot lilvot, and masa u matan, laseit velateit usually means to buy and to sell. However, Rashi, and then afterwards, Balei HaTosfot even more so, limit this isur. And they say, okay, it's interesting, this is, okay, again, historical. The Sephardi countries had less contact in general, certainly in the beginning of the Middle Ages, with non-Jews. So the Sephardim took this kipshuto. Okay, you can't laseh v'latet. Done. Maybe I should, even before we get there, I'll get to the reason as to why we do this. I'll go on a little bit more. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, nifra'im mehem mipnei shemitzer hulo. You can't collect a loan because that's unpleasant for him. So what do you see from here? What's the whole concept? The concept is, we don't want to make him happy that he had a good business deal, that he got paid back his money, that he sold you something and got paid, that he bought something new from you and, you know, enjoyed some new item. What might he do if that happens to him? Well, he'll be in such a good mood, he'll go thank his gods for it. And there'll be a concern that he's thanking his gods. That seems to be the basic interpretation here, is that we're worried that when he goes for the holiday, he'll thank the Elilim for the things that you did. Okay, whether borrows, lending, all those things, he might be thankful. You have to wonder why lending, if he lends out to you, why that would cause it. So now they say back to Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, even though paying back a loan, even though at the moment it's very, what? Sorry, I didn't read that right. Okay. Sameach u'lachar zman. Even though right now it's unpleasant for him to have to pay back the loan, but a day later he feels great that he's relieved of his loan. So therefore he says even, you know, the Tanakhama says even both directions. So what's the machlok at Rashi Tosfot against the, you know, it's Rashi versus Tosfot and also just the Sephardi approach. So the Sephardi approach against his Lasefa Latet is buying, selling. Rashi limits it and he says Lasefa Latet is only selling and not buying. Because if you sell him items, he's happy to get a new item. Now, one second. Now, after, wait, where did Rashi say? He said, because really you can argue this in both directions. Mm-hmm. One second. Rashi says that it's, right, it's on Daf Yubet. He says, right, it's Dafka to sell to them because they'll be happy with having a new item. Right, that's what he says. He says they'll be happy with having a new item, and that's why selling you're not allowed to do because, you know, you're always happy when you have a new dress, you have a new something in your house. You know, anything new makes you happy. But buying from them isn't such a big deal. And obviously, what's motivating him is that, again, if you're living in Ashkenazi countries and you have a lot of interactions with non-Jews, how are you going to function without being able to buy things? So selling, you know, again, you have to limit something. So he limited the buying. Rabbeinu Tam goes even farther. Rabbeinu Tam was known in general for creating all sorts of heterim. If you remember the whole thing about boat travel 3 days before, we saw Rabbeinu Tam was majorly mekel to allow business dealings for people in where he was living in France. And he basically says, I don't remember if it's Rabbeinu Tam or Balei HaTosfot, but they say that it's only selling things like animals that they're going to sacrifice to their avodah zarah. But if they're not going to use it as sacrificial anything, then of course you can sell them things. Because he says, having a new item isn't so exciting because you paid money for it. It's not like you got a gift. Somebody gave you something out of the blue. That would be something that would make someone super happy. But when they bought something, they bought it with their own money. They paid the money for it. They got it. It's not something that's going to make you so happy. Okay, so therefore, again, you could argue the same logic about buying something. You know, in theory, you could say, if you're going to say having a new item makes you happy, you could say that having sold something makes you happy because you sold something. But maybe you say that's just an everyday occurrence, that you sell things and it's just part of your business, and maybe that doesn't really make you happy. So anyway, what's obvious that's going on here is the need for people to be able to interact with non-Jews, and probably it's possible, right? I mean, the Gemara is going to list which are all the holidays. But it's possible that also maybe this got extended to other holidays and maybe it just got too difficult to actually manage. Okay, so that's one thing. The next Mishnah, by the way, I should just kind of preface it because we're not up to it yet, but the next Mishnah says, Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shlosha Yamim Lefnehem, U'Shlosha Yamim L'Achareihem Asurim, which is already saying, wow, 3 days before, 3 days after. I was telling somebody yesterday that I started teaching Avodah Zarah, and she said to me, oh yeah, you know, if you take that Shlosha Yamim Lefnei, Shlosha Yamim Acharei, and you count every Sunday as a holiday, or, you know, you basically allow for no interactions. And, you know, I think there was, like, I think that what she was saying was coming from somewhere that she had heard, you know, that you could obviously do that. Chachamim say, no, only Lefnei Adam is Asur, and L'Acharei Adam is Mutar. Before we go on, I want to point out the Tosefta, because again, I want to just show you that there's all different approaches, and they'll all kind of surface later on in the dealings of the Gemara. In the Tosefta, it says, Nachum HaMadi Omer, Yom Echa B'Galuyot. He's from Madai, right? So he's from outside of Israel, right? Generally, the Tanaim were inside Israel. And we're going to see that Shmuel later on is going to make a distinction between the Galut and Eretz Israel. Nachum HaMadi Omer, Yom Echa B'Galuyot, Lefnei Dehem Asur. Okay, only one day before. Okay, he limits it. Not 3 days, but one day, according to the Tosefta. Remember, the Tosefta and the Mishnah are at the same time. There's kavua holidays, and then there's holidays that come up here and there that aren't on set days. Those, it's only the day of that's forbidden. And then it goes on to say in the Tosefta, lo yisa adam v'yitenim agoy v'yom edo, v'lo yakelim o et rosho, on the day of, we have to be even more machmir, not to hang out with them. Lo yishal b'shlomam, don't ask how they're doing. And then they come up with issues that it comes up even the Tosefta Mishum Darkei Shalom. You can, because you're going to get into fights with them. You know, you don't want to get them to hate you. But there's an article on the virtual Beit Midrash of Yeshivat Haaretzion by Ohad Fixler, who basically says here that there's two explanations for the difference between Nechum HaMadai and the Mishnah. They say that he thinks Nechum HaMadai is the early version, that it was only one day and the day of, and then later, the time of our Mishnah was a later, where they added on to the Isur. And he also distinguishes between Chutz Laaretz and Eretz Yisrael. And that he says that in Chutz Laaretz, where Nechum HaMadai was living, you couldn't do 3 days. You wouldn't be able to function. In Eretz Yisrael, right, we can imagine this today. If we said you can't do interactions with non-Jews, well, most people can function for a few days without interactions with non-Jews. But if you're in Chutz Laaretz, it's quite impossible. So he also distinguishes those two things. And like I said, we're going to see a distinction later in the Gemara also about Bagola and in Eretz Yisrael.
What's the logic of the 3 days after?
So what's the logic, Yafeh, that you asked? The logic is that they're still kind of on a high from their holidays. In fact, I saw quoted in Sefer HaMakabim, I didn't bring this, I didn't print it for myself, but in Sefer HaMakabim, I think it was in this article of Ohad Fixler, he writes that in Sefer HaMakabim, there's a source that talks about the Yemei Chanukah, and that there, or I think it was, I assume it was about Chanukah, and that there was, and they celebrated and for another 3 days. That sometimes holidays were extended. You think of like Sheva Brachot, right? It's not just in our culture there's Sheva Brachot. You know, in India, they also have these parties for 7 days after the wedding. And sometimes there's a holiday, and it was celebrated more than even like the 8 days of Christmas, right? It's really one day, but, you know, people kind of extend it. I think that's the concept, that they're still kind of on a high from their holiday, maybe even still celebrating their holiday. I even saw like a Tachasutu, is there like an Isruchag of their holidays like ours? So Isruchag is the same kind of concept, that the Chag continued a little bit further. Okay, what's very interesting about this Masechet is the beginning. Okay, first we're going to start off on something that seems kind of, often Masechet would start off with things that seem, why are you dealing with this? Okay, not typical Gemara. Although sometimes we say it's Svaraim, here it's clearly Rav and Shmuel, so you can't say that. And then we're going to get into this very long Agadata, which is very interesting. Agadata, all about relations between Jews and non-Jews, and clearly the Masechet setting up the groundwork for, okay, even this first part, which seems awfully strange, is all talking about what's our attitude supposed to be toward non-Jews. And while it, at the surface, seems to be incredibly negative, we're going to see that there's a bit of positive mixed in and a bit of the heat love too. How exactly are we supposed to react, you know, deal with non-Jew and non-Jew relationships? Rav and Shmuel. So Rav and Shmuel have a machloket. Okay, we ended with Rav and Shmuel, now we're going on with Rav and Shmuel. Oh, by the way, I didn't talk about why this is here. So first of all, I think one reason, I didn't really see anyone, I didn't look up people who wrote about it, but anyway, I thought of a few reasons. The first reason I thought of is, you see here, l'hashilanu l'sh'ol, l'havotan l'avo, l'poram, we just ended with all the stuff of halva'od and paying back loans and shomrim and etc. Another thing I thought of was, right, what was it? There was something. All right, this is going to talk a lot about, one second, let me just get the pasuk straight. There's a pasuk that the first parak, we're not going to get to it right away, but the first parak is going to deal a lot with this pasuk, v'shem Elohim acharim lo tazkiru lo yishama al picha. And that's going to be a lot of the beginning of the parak. It's going to be about this isur of you shouldn't even mention the shame of Avodah Zarah. You can't, it's like part of Lifnei Iver, you can't cause others to mention the name of Avodah Zarah. You know, like help non-Jews to, this is really what it's talking about in the beginning. Where does this whole isur come from? Because you're helping the non-Jews, because you're selling to them, what's going to happen? You're making them thank their gods. So you're allowing them to express. And where does that obviously have to connect with Shavuot? It's all expressions. Okay? Expressions of where expressions are problematic. So that, I think, is really the more obvious connection. Maybe the first Mishnah started with this to kind of link the wording almost to the end of the last Masechet. Okay, Rav Shmuel. Chad Tane Edehen. Okay, if you don't have this in front of you, it's going to be hard to understand. Edehen with an Aleph. If I spoke like a better Israeli, you would hear my ayin better in the next one. Bechad Tane Edehen. Okay, with an ayin. So the question is Edehen with an Aleph or is Edehen with an ayin? Right, so you think, who cares, right? So, Man Detane Edehen, Lo Mishtabesh. The one who says Edehem with an Aleph didn't make a mistake, he's right. Uman detane Edehem lo mishtabesh also didn't make a mistake. In other words, either spelling we can justify. How can we justify it? We're going to read psukim and see references in these psukim to Avodah Zarah. One talking about Edehem with an Aleph and one talking about Edehem with an Ayin. Man detane Edehem with an Aleph lo mishtabesh dichtiv ki karov yom Edam. Okay, this is a pasuk in Dvarim, in Ha'azinu. Li nakam v'shilem, le'et tamut raglam, ki karov yom edam v'chash atidot lamo. It's talking about a day in the future where the non-Jews are going to get punished. Karov yom edam is the day of their destruction. So, obviously, you can see where the sukkah is going, right? The yom edam, their holidays, we view as a day of destruction. As we're going to view the Ovdei Kochavim as, you know, something of destruction. Uman detani edehem with an ayin lo mishtabesh dechtiv yitnu edehem v'yitzdaku. Okay, this is a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Okay, here's the pasuk. It's important to pay attention to the whole pasuk because we're going to darshan. The whole Agadata is going to be based on this pasuk, and that's how we get into this Agadata, at least technically speaking. Like I said, I think there's a lot of other reason why we got into this Agadata. But technically speaking, it's going to, in terms of the flow, we were talking about this pasuk, so they're going to darshan this pasuk in a different way. Kol goyim nikbitzu yachdav, all the goyim got together, v'yasfu le'umim, and they gather as nations. Mi bahem yagid zot, okay, who among them is going to say this? V'rishonot yashmiyunu, and the first ones shall be heard. Again, we're going to have to explain all these psukim in the drasha. But yitnu edehem v'yitzdaku, v'yishma'u v'yamru amet. It's seen as a rhetorical question. Are they going to come bring their avodah zara as proof for them, and they'll be yitzdaku, they'll be deemed to be righteous? In other words, are they going to bring their avodah zarah and that will prove that they're good people? Of course not. Like, that's a crazy concept. So that's how he reads the pasuk. So you could see that Edehem refers to avodah zarah according to this interpretation. Uman, now we're going to say, why didn't each one hold by the other? Uman detane Edehem with an aleph, my time alotane Edehem with an ayin. Amar lecha tavra adif. Adif, a word of shever, tavra is shever. Rather talk about Yom Edam, the day of destruction. That's a much better word if we want to describe the non-Jews, right? We'd rather be as negative as possible, according to this. Uman detane edehem with an ayin. My tamalotane edehen. Why not with an aleph? Amar lecha, man kagaram lehu tavra. It's not the destruction itself that's important. What caused it? Edut sheheidu batzman. They do that the Elilim themselves testified about, that the people worship them, they themselves created this testimony that they were guilty. Hilkach Edut Adifa. Okay, so what's going to bring their destruction? The Edut. So the Edut is more important than the destruction itself. Now we're going to talk about this pasuk. This pasuk is really referring to Ovdei Kochavim, Habi Yisrael Ktiv. Isn't the pasuk talking about Jewish people? Dama Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and here it's going to be viewed not as a rhetorical question, but as an actual statement, right? As that yitnu edehem, they're going to bring their proof, v'yitzdaku, and they will be justified. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, kol mitzvot Yisrael osim ba'olam hazeh, ba'od umidot lahem la'olam haba. Shenemar, yitnu edehem v'yitzdaku, elu Yisrael. Okay, Darshan, this pasuk is saying, The mitzvot are going to stand up as a Jew for them in Olam Haba, for the Jewish people. They'll stand up for Olam Haba as proof that they did good deeds, and therefore they'll be rewarded based on that. Yishmu v'yomru emet. What is this last line though? Yishmu v'yomru emet. Elu ovdei kochavim. That's the ovdei kochavim. Okay, Yishmu v'yomru emet. They're going to say, they're going to see the Jews getting their rewards. This is actually going to be a bit of a lead into the story, maybe, or at least it connects a little bit. But the non-Jews are going to see and say emet. They're going to say, "Oh wow, I guess they had it right." Ela Amar Avuna B'Reid Rav Yoshua. Okay, so now where were we left with? Isn't this pasuk referring to Jewish people, not non-Jewish people? It's positive pasuk, not a negative pasuk. It doesn't have to do with avodah zarah. So if so, we have to find a different pasuk for edehen. Amar Avuna B'Reid Rav Yoshua. Man Damar edehen mehacha. Okay, here's a pasuk from Yeshayahu. Okay, that was also from Yeshayahu. This is from the next parak, from Mem Dalid. Yotzrei pesel kulam tohu v'chamudehem bal yo'ilu. Okay, those who create the pesalim, it's all tohu. V'chamudehem, the things that they are beloved to them, these pesalim, bal yo'ilu, won't help them at all. Ve'edehen hema, and these will stand as testimony to them. Here we have it again. The Avodah Zarah is standing as testimony to their bad deeds. Darash Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, ve'itema Rabbi Simlai, la'atid lavo me'viyah Kadosh Baruch Hu, Sefer Torah b'tocheko, Sefer Torah minicho b'cheko. Okay, now we're starting. This is a drasha, a different drasha in the pasuk. Like I said, kol ha'yim nikbatsu yachdav. There's a drasha that's going to start in Agadata. That's going to start here. It's going to continue for a very long time. Yeah, it's already starting here. It's going to continue through into tomorrow's daf. Okay, so here's the drasha. In the future, what's going to happen, okay, in the olam haba, or in the atid, like acharit hayamim, I guess it's talking about, la'atid lavo, God's going to bring a sefer Torah, put it in his lap, v'omer, l'mish asak ba, yavo v'yitol schero. Okay, and he's going to say, this sounds like the end of that other verse, right? Whoever was osek b'Torah should come and get their reward. Miyad mikapzinu ba'in of de kochavim bi'urbuvia. Okay, immediately all the goyim come. How do we know this? Shenemar, kol ha'goyim nikbitzu yachdav. Okay, this whole pasuk is going to stand as the drasha. All the goyim are going to gather together. What are they gathering together for? To get their reward for keeping the Torah. Amar lam kadosh baruch hu, al tikansu lefanad bi'urbuvia, ela tikanes kol umav umav v'sofreha. Okay, what does the pasuk say? Notice, kol ha'goyim nikbitzu yachdav, v'yesfu le'umim. First it says they gather together, then it says they gathered by nation. So, how could that be? They gathered yachdav, so they say, they came to God in a big mushkababal, everybody together, and God said, no, I want to see you, each nation lined up. Okay, why he wants to see them each lined up, we'll see in a minute. Shenemar, okay, they quoted from the pasuk, v'yesfu le'umim, ve'ein la'om ela machut. How do we know that la'om is machut? Shenemar, la'om mi la'om ya'emats, right, the Yaakov and Esav. Okay, so there la'om means a nation. Umi ikar buvya kamea kadosh baruch hu. And what was bothering God that everybody was mixed? What, he couldn't tell? These are Romaim, these are Persim, these are Yivanim. Right? God knows everybody. He knows everything. So how could it be that that it was bothering him that they were all mixed together? Ela ki hechi de lo irbavu inhu bahade hadade de lishmu. He didn't want them to interact. He didn't want them to hear the claims of the other side. He wanted everybody to come, right? With it's similar actually to Shavuot in terms of, you know, he wanted to figure out how everyone could be honest. He didn't want that one hearing the claim of the other. He wanted everybody to come with their own claim, not to overhear what the other one said. And which is interesting because soon we're going to hear that the Midrash assumes that they knew what the reaction of God was, at least. I don't know if they knew what the other one claimed, but it was clear. Maybe you could say it was clear what the reaction of God was, even if they didn't know what the claim was. So they're going to basically go in one by one. Okay, now, of course, it's important to figure out who goes first. Okay? So I don't know if I read the whole thing. Right? He didn't want them to hear what each one was saying to what they each were saying to God. Miyad nechnesa lefanav machut Romi tchila. Okay, Romi goes first. This reminds us of a sugya we saw not so long ago about, right, which is more important, Romi or Paras, and obviously Romi is the greater one, and they prove it from this pasuk in Daniel. So my tama mishum dechashiva. Okay, it's because they're the most important. Okay, what does it mean important? They were the most well known. Uminalan dechashiva. How do we know this? Dechtiv. Okay, it says in Daniel. Vatochal kol ara vatidushena vatidukena. They devoured the entire everybody, right? And then crushed them into nothing. And that was obviously referring to Romi. Okay, this is the Chaya Revi'it. If you remember, we talked about this last time. The Chaya Revi'it in this dream of Daniel. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says Zo Romi Chayevet. This is Romi Chayevet. We saw this here. You can even see it's in Shvuot Avav Amabet. This is Romi. Chayevet means the Risha'ah, okay, the evil that's Chayevet, Klape Shamayim. Shetiv'ah Yatzah B'chol Ha'aretz. Okay, two different explanations. What does it mean, Tiv'ah Yatzah? Most people say it means its name was known everywhere. Everybody knew about, right? Everybody knows about the Roman Empire. But some people say Tiv'ah is Matbea, that its coin was used everywhere, right? It had achieved a set of greatness in terms of everyone knew about them, but it achieved financial wealth and stability, that everybody used their coins. Umenalan demand, it doesn't obviously matter which one you use, which interpretation. Menalan demand a chashiv al bereisha. Okay, so just because they're important, how do you know that they're going to be the ones who come first? Kidirav chista. We haven't even started the story, right? We're in a lot of background as to why Rome was the first one to come. Damar of chista, melech b'tzibur, melech nichnas tchila ladin. Okay, if there's a melech and the community going to court, the melech goes first. Shneemar, I don't know how you deal with the fact that melech lo dam velo danimoto. Okay, so how could you have a melech going to court? But okay, I didn't look that up. I just thought of it right now. So, I don't know, I'm looking, Rashi doesn't say anything here. Anyway, okay, we'll leave that question aside.
Maybe it's a Jewish king.
Right, maybe that's just a Jewish king and this would be a non-Jewish king. It could be. Okay.
It says the servant in this verse is Shlomo.
No, in the pasuk they're going to quote, it's talking about Shlomo, but... right, maybe they're talking about like in front of God, I guess. You know what they must be saying? If there's a din in front of God, who goes first? Melech nichnas tchila. Shneemar, this is in Shlomo's tefillah about the Beit HaMikdash. In Melachim Aleph, Perek Chet, it says, Lasot mishpat avdo mishpat amo Yisrael. Okay, to do the mishpat of his Eved, which is talking about himself, and mishpat amo Yisrael. So I guess it's saying in front of God. A melech can go obviously in front of God. You know, can be judged, so to speak. Okay, v'tam amai. So the question is, why does the melech go first? Two reasons are given. It's not nice to leave the king waiting outside. It's not respectful. They were worried that as the day goes on and all these cases come up and the judges see all the people's sins, they're going to get worked up and angry and they're going to take out that anger on the king's case. In other words, they want to have the king have the best dayanim when they're at their best and not when they're already kind of angry and frustrated with what's come before them. Okay, we finally get now, so Romi goes in first and here's what they say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This might sound familiar to you. Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'mai asaktem. How did you do Torah? Like, let me hear. What was your kiyum Torah? Amrim lefanav, ribono shel olam, harbe shvakim takninu, harbe merchatzaot asinu, harbe kesef v'zaav hirbinu, v'kulam lo asinu, ela b'shvil Yisrael, kadesh shiitasku b'Torah. Okay, where have we seen this? Okay, so first of all, let's translate. So we've set up lots of shuks, we've set up bathhouses, we've gotten lots of kesef and zahav, and all of this was for the Jews so they could learn Torah. Okay, where did we have this? We had this in the famous story of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai when he goes into the cave. Why did he go into the cave? Because he got told on to the Romans. What was the discussion going on? There was a discussion between a few of the rabbis, and one of them said, look at the Romans, how great they are, right? It was a whole debate about should we go with the Romans or not go with the Romans. Look how great they are. They built Marchatzaot. They built, right, all these things, and then one guy's shotek, and this is in Shabbat Lama Gimel if you want to look at it, and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says the exact reaction of Hashem in this story. Okay, Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shotim Shaba Olam, Kol Ma Sha'asitem L'Tzorach Atzmechem Asitem. Tikantem Shvakim Loshiv Bahem Zonot. Okay, you did this all for your own sake, not for the Jews. You made Shvakim in order to put prostitutes. Merchatzaot La'adem Bahem Atzmechem, to make yourselves look beautiful. Kesef Zahav, Shelihu. And the Kesef Zahav, it's all mine. Shenemar, Aliyah Kesef, Aliyah Zahav, Neum Hashem Tzvaot. Okay, so that's what God says to them. He's going to say one more line. I just want to say, that's basically the very reaction that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says, what's the beauty of these merchatzaot, and what's the beauty of these when there's zonot and there's this, and you know, it was all they used them for bad things. Okay, so now, klum yesh bachem magid zot. Okay, that's the continuation of the pasuk. Shneemar mi bachem yagid zot. Okay, is there anyone? Right, there isn't anyone among you who's magid zot. God says, ve'ein zot ela Torah. In other words, there's no one among you who's done this Torah. Shneemar v'zot haTorah asher sam Moshe. Okay, we know that all pasuk very well. Zot, they say, refers to Torah. So in the pasuk, when it says mi bachem yagid zot, right, who among you can say that you kept the Torah? Right, obviously none of you. So let's just read the pasuk from the beginning for a minute. Kol goyim nikbitzu yachdav. So they all came together. Then vayasvu lumim, they separated by nation. Mi bachem yagid zot. Hashem says to them, who among you can say you kept the Torah? And obviously no one. Okay, so right now Romi has failed. Yatzu b'pachei nefesh. Okay, they walked out very upset. I guess that's why, right, this would answer my question I mentioned before, which is it's clear that they walked out upset, so the next group that's about to come in, even though God kept them separate and they couldn't hear their claim, they did see them walk out with a sad face and realize this obviously didn't work. You know, whatever they said didn't work. Yetzah machut Romi, nechnesa machut Paras, right? You feel like there's a stage, right? So Romi exits, Paras enters. Yetzah machut Paras achareha. My time, deha chashiva batra. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to ask again, why are they considered next? Uminalan dechtiv va'aruchaya chare tanina damya ledov. Okay, and the next one looked like a, and this is in the image of Daniel, the next animal looked like a dove. And the pasuk continues, v'lishtarchara, I guess that's fine. Okay, it looked like a dove. V'tani Rav Yosef, elu parsiim. This refers to the parsiim. Why? Sho'chlim v'shotim kedov, u'misurbalim basar kedov, u'migadlim se'ar kedov, ve'ein lahem menucha kedov. Okay, they're restless. They eat and drink like a bear. They're I guess overweight like bears, and they have a lot of hair like bears, and they're restless. Ein lahem menucha kedov. Amar lahem haKadosh Baruch Hu, b'maya saktem. So what did you do? Omrim lefanav, Ribono shel Olam, harbei gesharim gasharnu, harbei krachim kavashnu, harbei melchamot asinu, v'klum lo asinu ela b'shvil Yisrael, kadei sheitasku b'Torah. Okay, we built a lot of infrastructure. Okay, cities, bridges, we captured nations, and it was all so that the Jews could learn Torah. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol ma she'asitem, l'tzorach atzmachem asitem. Really, you did this all for yourselves. Tikantem k'sharim litomehem meches, right? You just wanted, why'd you build bridges? To collect taxes. Krachim la'asot behem angaria. Cities, you could take people to work for the king. Milchamot ani asiti. Okay, it's the same genre. You did all these for yourselves, but this part I actually did for you. Milchamot ani asiti, I'm behind everything. Shneamar Hashem ish milchama. He's the one who goes to battle. Klum yesh b'chem magid zot, shneamar mi b'chem yagid zot. Again, right, is there anyone who could say they did the Torah? As it says, right, can anyone say this? Ve'ein zot el ha-Torah, shneamar v'zot Torah shasa Moshe. Miyad yatsu milifanav v'pachei nefesh. Okay, they immediately go out looking miserable. V'chi, now the Gemara is going to go off on a tangent. Before it gets to the next, we're not going to see the next nations yet. V'chi me'achar dechazi machu paras l'machu romi delo mahani v'lo midi ma'itai ma'alila. If Machut Paras saw that Romi came out and didn't succeed, why did they think that they were any better? Okay, right? What motivated them to think that they also had a possible claim that was going to work? Amre, so what might they have said? In hu satre Beit HaMikdash va'anam baninan. They destroyed the Beit HaMikdash and we helped the Jews rebuild it, right? Koresh, Melech Paras. Bechein l'chol umah v'umah. What's the meaning here? Right. So then the question is, what about all the other nations? Why did they come in and keep asking? So fine, Machu Romi, we understand they destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, but Machu Paras built the Beit HaMikdash, and yet, or helped build the Beit HaMikdash, and yet they didn't win. So why did everybody else go in after that? Savre hanach ishtabude behu b'Yisrael va'anan lo shi'i abadnu b'Yisrael. Okay, they said they all ruled over the Jewish people and subjugated them. We didn't, so we thought maybe we'd be able to get. Ma'ish nahani dechashive or ma'ish nahani delo chashive lehu. Why was Machud and Paras mentioned by name and the others aren't mentioned by name? Mishum dehanach mashche b'malchutayu ad da'ate meshicha. This is a strange line. Because Malchut Romi and Paras lasted until, or will last, their Malchut will last until the time of the Mashiach. Okay, we know this not exactly to be true. But I think that their perspective was more like these outlasted everybody else. Okay, whether they, you know, nobody can predict whether they're going to last until the time of the Mashiach. But in their day, they saw that, that Romi and Paras were still in existence and the others were no longer. Omrim lefanav, ribono shel olam, klum natata lanu velo kiblenua. So now, one second. This, I believe, is the other nations, right? Because now they're not mentioned by name. So it's wrong in saying they don't come up today. I assume that we're talking about... second. Right. Now we're up to the... Now the non-Jews are basically saying to God, okay, it's not clear who's speaking, I assume this is what they were mentioning, that all of a sudden, right, we're not going to hear anybody anymore by name. So then they said to him, wait a minute, why are you telling us that we didn't keep the Torah, and you're complaining to us that we didn't do it? Klum natata lanu velo kiblanua? Did you give us the Torah and we didn't accept it? What do you mean? You didn't even give us the Torah. You gave the Torah to the Jewish people so they can get Sachar, but what about us? You didn't even give us an option. Right? You took away our free will almost. You know, we would have kept it had you given us the choice. So then they say, what do you mean? Umi matza lemamar hachi? Could you really say that they didn't have a chance to get the Torah? V'haktiv v'yomer Hashem misinai ba v'zarach misi'ir lamo. Right? He came from Sinai. Right? This is from Dvarim Lama Gimel. Right, also in Hazinu, Vizarach Misir Lamo, Uchtiv Elohami Teman Yavo. Okay, so now they say this from Habakkuk, Vikadosh Mehar, you have to read the rest of the Pasuk, okay, Elohami Teman Yavo, Vikadosh Mehar Paran, Sela, Kisashamai Modo, Tilatomal Ahaharetz. My Bai Bisir, my Bai Biparan. So you see, he went to Paran, he went to Seir, he went to Teman. So Amar Biyochanan, what is it we learn from here? Melamed shechzira kadosh baruch hu al kol umah v'lashon v'lo kibluah. We all know this famous midrash. We all learned it in, you know, Shavuot when we were little, that God came and offered the Torah to all the other nations and they didn't want to accept it. Ad shabai yitzel Yisrael v'kibluah. So what kind of a claim is that? So elahachi amre. Oh, well, this is really what they said. Klum kibalnuah v'lo kiamnuah. In other words, it's true we didn't want it, but once we didn't accept it, so then we don't need to keep it. Now, it's not like we had it and we're supposed to keep it, but we didn't. We weren't even supposed to keep it. So why are you upset with us that we didn't do it? Valdat var tehon, and for that you're going to destroy us? Amai lo kiblatua? One second. Valdat var tehon, amai lo kiblatua? So then, maybe it's supposed to be read like this. Valdat varton, on this I'm going to destroy you because I'm my low kibal tua. Why didn't you accept it? In other words, it's your fault for not accepting it. So, In other words, the point is that they can say, one second, right, so God said they didn't accept it. No, that's true. So then they could say to him, Elakach omrim lefanav. So that's not a really good claim either because God could answer them. So here's a better answer. Ribono shel olam, klum kafita aleinu har kegigit v'lo kiblanua, kemo she'asita l'Yisrael. It's not like the Jews wanted to accept it either. Right? Remember, there's two approaches. There's the one, it's interesting, they're quoting both these, they're referencing both these midrashim, they have opposite approaches. One is that the Jews said, oh, yes, we want it. The other is that the Jews weren't willing to accept it and God had to force them. Okay, so he's saying, you could have forced us. It's you who did it, not us. We're no different than the Jews. It's just that you didn't force us. If you put it like you did to the Jews, then maybe we would have accepted it. How do we know? And they darted from there. They were under the har, right? That the har was forced upon them. Okay, right, that's how the Midrash, right? What does it mean, Tachtit Har? They were under the Har. And God basically said, this Har is going to fall on you, and that's going to be the end of you if you don't accept the Torah. Forced acceptance of Torah. So, Miyad Amar Lam Kadosh Baruch Hu. So now we have to continue in the Pasuk. So, Kol Goyim Nikvatsu Yachdav. They all gathered. I'm just doing good review. Ve'asvu Lumim. They gathered by nation and started giving their claims. Mi Bahem Yagid Zok. God kept saying to them, well, who can say they did Zok, which is the Torah, and nobody could. V'rishonot Yashmi Unu. What is Rishonot Yashmiyunu? Rishonot. Okay, Amar Lam Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Rishonot Yashmiyunu. Shneamar. By Rishonot Yashmiyunu. Sheva Mitzvot Shekibaltem. Hechan Kiyamtem. I want to hear about the Rishonot. Tell me about the ones that you did accept. Adam Rishon accepted, or Noach accepted Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach. So what about these? So now here's where we see the back and forth about, were they really bad or were they not, right? Also in the discussion of the non-Jews trying to say, well, it's not like you gave it to us, it's not like this, it's not like that, right? In other words, you could have forced it upon us too, it's not our fault. Number one, it's not our fault. Number two, now we're going to say, how do you know they didn't keep, like, why are you assuming they're so bad? Maybe they really did keep them. Detani Rabbi Yosef, Amar Bimoded Eretz Ra'a Vayatar Goyim. Okay, this is when God basically measured the land and decided to give it to the Jewish people, away from the non-Jews, take it away from them. My Ra'ah, and that's what prompted God to decide to do this. It's a pasuk in Habakkuk. So what prompted this? Sorry, I lost my place. My Ra'ah, Ra'ah Sheva Mitzvot Shekibul Aleihem B'nei Noach V'lo Kimum. Okay, so he saw that they weren't keeping the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, and that's why he took away their land and gave it to the Jews. Kevan Shelo Kimum, and that since they didn't keep them, Amah Biti Ran Lahem. So he basically saw they weren't keeping them, so he was matir to them, that they could do it. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Itaguri Itagur, they're going to get rewarded because they couldn't keep it, so God made them, basically made everything mutar lahem, that they won't get punished for it. Imke Matzinu Choten Iskar, then we see here that God rewards people who sin, because look, the non-Jews weren't keeping it, so now God matir them. So Amar Mar Bered Ravina Lomar Sha'af Al Pishem Kaimin Otam Ein Mekablim Alehem Sachar. Okay, they will end here for today, but it's to say it's not that it was mutar to them; it was that if they keep the mitzvot B'nei Noach, they're not going to be able to get rewarded for them. Okay, that it was kind of he when he saw that nobody was keeping them, he said, "Forget it. You're not going to be rewarded by doing good things at this point. You've lost your chance." Okay, so we'll continue along with this. Midrash tomorrow, and then we'll try to come up with some interesting things to say about it.